Today, I'm delighted to bring you an episode from the archives. We are going back to my interview with the founders of Oddbox, Deepak and Emily. Oddbox is a sustainable fruit and veg box subscription service that rescues produce that would have gone to waste but is perfectly good to eat. Things like odd-shaped kiwis, often too large, and tomatoes or surplus cauliflowers. Their customers get to have amazing fresh produce at a discount and they get to help the environment at the same time. They started this project as like a tiny little thing. I'm just so pleased to announce that they've now expanded across the UK from their initial few postcodes in London, and they've just gone and raised a further £16 million in funding as part of their Series A round, which is just incredible. I was instantly a fan of Oddbox after hearing the founder's story and how they just completely changed their career path to build something they were passionate about, and I'm sure you'll really enjoy the story too. Their story is just a great example of growth and learning. It's one of my favourites from the show, and it was such an honour to have recorded it a few years ago in their kind of dilapidated HQ on the arse end of London, and just so cool to see where they're going to now. I hope you enjoy this interview and find it just as motivating as I did. How long was it before you started Oddbox then? Like another 5 years of working?
Yes, probably 5-6 years before we actually started the Oddbox. When I moved to the UK, then I wasn't working. I found a job quite quickly, again in finance. And then I really wanted to do something with more purpose. And so I had been looking into moving into the charity sector, and I got an opportunity 2 years later to move into a finance role. And eventually kind of became director of finance and operations for a charity focusing on girls' empowerment in developing countries. So for me, I didn't want to have kind of work where I was earning money and then a separate life where I was having a purpose. It was very much about how do I integrate doing something good with my day-to-day work. And so, yes, Deepak was kind of at that time working in financial services. And
I think for me, going back to the Indian parents, you know, it was really for me as an Indian, I was quite proud to be working in the city, a square mile and earning a lot of money. So that was at that point in time, that phase in my life, it seemed like the right thing to do. When your parents say, oh, they're proud that the son works in the city. And that was really good. But I think what I found over the years working in the city was that, I was having to deal with a lot of, shall we say, alpha kind of population, everybody trying to out-talk the other person, run over the other person. And B, I'd come from this culture where, you know, I was talking about the social interaction with colleagues, whereas in banking, it was very functional. It was getting the job done and you never necessarily got a pat on your back because you were paid to get the job done. And what was also happening on the back of that was, I remember, you know, having these tough meetings, it would be a global call, fairly brutal in terms of people saying, I need that done by X amount of time. And me really feeling run down by the afternoon and me just going for a walk in the city. It might seem a bit hollow, but buying stuff, thinking like buying a new suit or buying new things, thinking buying new things would actually fill this hole of some sort. And this hole started getting wider and wider. And me getting to a point where I thought, what am I doing? Why am I working almost 12 hours, spending 8 to 12 hours of my day at a place which I really don't enjoy. And I'm still in touch with those people from my banking days. Don't get me wrong. The people are nice. It's just the environment. What am I doing? Just earning money, spending, because there's this hole which is forming. Yeah. And I had no idea of how to fill the hole. So I was trying mindfulness. I was always passionate about going to the gym and doing some activity. So that was happening at the same time. I was trying to fill this gap. I just got to a point where I think we'd gone to Colorado to see my sister one December. And I just, the penny just dropped. I think it was December 2014, if I'm not wrong. But I went, what am I doing? You know, so I think by Jan-Feb, my mind was all set on, I don't think this is the right thing for me to do. And I'd kept switching different banks to think, oh, maybe the other bank is better. Maybe this bank is better. Maybe it's just, you know, the project which is not good or the team which is not good. But at some point, I think the problem or the solution was with me, was within me, it was not external. So I had to fix that. I'd remove myself from the situation rather than get more and more negative about that whole equation. So because I didn't want to be negative. So the solution had to be found somewhere else, which was within me. So I had to remove myself from the equation. and remove myself from banking, which is what happened.
So you had the idea for Oddbox? I mean, how did that part come? So you guys were just like brainstorming different ideas at home, or?
There was a bit of frustration from us in terms of the food industry and the produce that we could get in the UK. The fact that, first of all, everything is packaged. You can get everything all year round, which is quite amazing. But then things out of season don't taste great compared to what you get in France or even in India, where you don't get it all year round. In India, you get mangoes only 2 months a year. But then the mangoes taste amazing. Produce are ripe. In France, it's similar. You go to the market and you get amazing produce. And so that was something that we had in the back of our mind. And then at that time, there's a French supermarket who launched a campaign on imperfect fruit and veg. And we thought, oh, that's amazing. Why can't we get imperfect fruit and veg in the UK? Because we actually don't really care how they look. At the end, you just cook it. And then you get produce which are in season. You do something good. And that's when kind of, it was at the same time as the program. So that kind of program helped us develop that idea and the business model. But at the same time, the idea came from really kind of seeing that being done somewhere else.
And I think we visited your, I think, parents in Portugal as well. Yeah. And you saw the street markets and you see the produce there, ugly, nothing perfect about them. But the taste is completely different.
Yeah.
And you go, why is it, what happens to these produce, what happens in the UK? Why is it everything, you know, almost like in a beauty contest, right? When you see everything's laid out perfectly. And I think it was a mix of a few different things happening almost at the same time, mm-hmm. which almost led to that almost idea coming to fruition.
Because it's easy to have an idea. You can have a lot of different ideas, but then executing on the idea is the difficult part. And initially, when you start a business, you think, oh, I need to protect my idea. But in fact, the idea of Oddbox, probably 100 more people had the same idea at the same time. And so it wasn't an innovative idea, but the program helped us develop that idea. And at the same time, Deepak was kind of working on more of a fitness idea, which he was doing some program for to promote fitness for the Indian community. So kind of online. And Oddbox was starting to pick up. And obviously, it's moving fruit and veg, so it's quite heavy in terms of the logistics. And I was working at the same time. So it was, Deepak was helping me going to get the produce from the suppliers. So we had a few suppliers working at the wholesale market. So we would go on Saturday early morning at 5 in the morning when the market was about to close. And then we would pack the boxes and deliver ourselves. So he was very much involved kind of from the start. And slowly, we got more traction with Oddbox than his fitness project. And he became involved full-time. It's just serendipity that it was the right timing that he had quit his job. And therefore, he had time.
More time.
To help. And that's just this idea which picked up. It could have been the opposite.
And I'd qualified to become a personal trainer at that point in time. And I was doing these kind of fitness sessions in the park, at the same time running this kind of Facebook-based online community. And then when Emily had launched, you know, what used to be called Tasty Misfits at that time, we needed a place to pack. So I was scouting the local churches because I was thinking, hold on a minute. Churches got so much space. What do they do with this space, especially early hours in the morning and nighttime? And could we get the benefit of that space and give them fruit and veg in return? We can't pay them money, of course. And surprisingly, I spoke to quite a few churches in the Palam area where we live. And funnily enough, one of the churches, which is on the same road where we live, and he said, yeah, that's a great idea. Why don't you use the space? And that became our first pack house.
It was more of a community hall than a proper church.
Yeah, exactly. But that was a great, because we were literally storing, before the church, we were storing the fruit and vegetables in our fridge and on the terrace because it was winter. Yeah. It literally had no space and we didn't have the money for a warehouse for sure.
It was very much bootstrapping from the start. Because for us, that was our idea of how you build a business. You can do everything you can yourself with minimal cost. So we were buying our packaging kind of unbranded just putting some stickers on top of it so that people knew that it was
cheapest possible box. The stickers, I think the Luftwaffe first logo was probably what, 30 pounds?
Yeah, 30 pounds for the company on Fiverr to make our logo. But actually, it didn't matter that much. And sometimes people think that you need to have everything perfect, that you need to have a brand agency, do your logo, your branding, your marketing. And for us, also, I guess, because we didn't have that marketing background. So we thought, at the end, we just want to see if there's a market, if people would be willing to buy this imperfect produce. And so let's just try it. So we got some leaflets printed that we distributed ourselves in our neighborhood, went to some local fairs and put a bit of free posts on Facebook. And that's how we got our first customers, first 20 customers.
I think it's a great
of our friends.
Would you say it's a great, suppose, learning for us that if you are truly genuine and authentic, the packaging and the looks and all that don't matter as much?
I think if you're solving a real need, because for us, we felt that it was a need because we knew that we would be happy to buy this produce. It was less packaging. It was solving an issue of food waste. And so we thought if that's something that we would be happy to do, there's definitely going to be people like us who will be happy to get the produce directly from the growers and get the produce that they are not able to sell, which are still perfectly good quality, but don't meet supermarket specification. And I think it's probably maybe the best way of testing that there's a real need, because we got customers, people still wanted it. And then you can beautify your proposition and add the branding and the marketing and the packaging and everything. But if at least you're able to get some customers with a basic service, then that means you can only improve on that.
Because the pictures on our website as well, I remember.
We were taking them ourselves.
I think it was firstly with an iPhone in the park. But in hindsight, it was literally that on the website and people still bought it. And we didn't get a food stylist for sure. Now we've got a great marketing team who then focuses and works with food stylists, works with special photographers.
But we still do a lot. So most of our photos are taken by a brand marketing lead who's a great photographer. So it's always been about trying to make the most of what we have.
And we focus more on the stories, the messaging and the impact rather than the pure aesthetic. In a way, you could say that because we're Oddbox and we're all about being imperfect, you don't need to be perfect. And the substance is more important than the style in other ways.
And it feels more authentic as well. So we put a letter in the box, which is still written by our head of operations. So he's a great writer.
From day one.
From day one, he's been writing the letter. I think, Deepak, you wrote maybe the first letter and then he took over because he felt that he could write it better.
For sure.
And for the past 3 years, he's been writing the letter.
And customers love that. Yeah. You know, every single person talks about the mission and all that, but the letter, it started off as a simple idea.
And talking about what's happening in the fresh produce industry.
Which is fascinating.
Talking about what's happening on the farm, how growers are impacted by the weather, the different type of produce, what's in season, provide tips. So it was very much about kind of what value can we add beyond just the fruit and veg? Because we've also discovered, because we're not from the industry, we've discovered so much. How can we share all of the things that we've discovered? And Gavin is amazing at writing it. He loves doing it and he's good at doing it. People like his style because he's got more knowledge of the fresh produce industry because he was doing all of the sourcing at the start. He's got more to share about the stories.
Today, many small business owners are busier than ever. Time spent searching for and interviewing candidates can take time away from managing and growing a business. That's why LinkedIn Jobs has made it easier to get the candidates worth interviewing faster, and it's free. I've found some great candidates through LinkedIn, been really happy with how well they've then fitted in with the company, and it's really saved me a lot of time. And you can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 770 million people. focus on candidates with the skills and experience that you need, use screening questions to get your role in front of only the most qualified people, then use the simple tools on LinkedIn Jobs to quickly filter and prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. Simples. So, LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates worth interviewing faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/growth. That's linkedin.com/growth, G-R-O-T-H, to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply.
So you had quite good growth in year two, but then that was enough to prove that you should be raising a round, or was it more like people's faith in the idea rather than the growth? Because I remember just sort of reading it and being like, yeah, this is super awesome, I'm investing.
So we closed the year with 600 customers, and then we got really good press features in December and January, and we grew from 600 to over 1,000 customers just in January.
Yeah.
And so that proper traction was enough to be at a stage where we could get angel investment. But it was still very much kind of individuals believing in what we were doing.
I think if I'm not wrong, we were approached by one of our customers who's also an angel investor who said, yeah, are you thinking about funding? And I think Emily is right. I think when we reached that 1,000 customer mark, that's when we started attracting people's attention. And for us, it made perfect sense to reach a scale in order to be able to have that benefit.
Yeah. And we had been accepted into the NatWest Accelerator. And so we were now surrounded with people who were at similar stages and were at either just raised investment or were thinking about raising investment. So I think there's some benefit as well in being with people who are at a similar stage, because that opens up possibility.
Mm.
We might have been able to raise investment earlier, but we just didn't know or didn't think about it. But being surrounded with people who were also trying to build a business and were also kind of starting to get traction, then we realized that there was some potential with Hotbox.
And it helped us, took us a long time to refine our pitch and story and things like that, because we were always thinking about, ah, we've done this, we've done that, but not really thinking from an investor's standpoint as well. So that really helped refine the story we were trying.
Yeah, and prepare to approach or to go about raising investments. We didn't have a network in the UK, so it was all about learning how that angel funding process works.
And it's great because there were some really tough but relevant questions as well about the business model and testing us. Because when you run the business, it's quite hard to step back and think, oh, 3 years down the line, this is what might happen when you go nationwide, for instance. And there were all these tough questions that we were being asked, which in the initial discussions, we didn't have the answers to. So it helped us refine and think about those.
Think about more long-term and strategy.
And also expand our vision. Yeah. Because somebody would tell us, oh, why don't you go pan-Europe? And we would have never thought about that. We were still, you know, how do we expand in London territory? So I think that the process is quite critical, I think, to help you refine your idea and your business model, because you don't figure it all out. You are making it up as you go along. We didn't have it all figured out. That surrounding yourself with investors, entrepreneurs, and mentors at the same time, and having that ecosystem helps you shape your idea and shape your model as well to move forward, which is where you understand whom do you hire at what point in time, which is again the next critical step as well. Because I think once we had raised our crowdfunding round, then it was about deploying those resources most efficiently. Which
that's then quite a big task, that now you've got all that money, that you need to think about how do you use it effectively. Yeah. You've kind of told your investors that you're going to deliver all of that growth, because obviously, you prepare a financial model who's always a bit kind of ambitious, because you need to show that you're going to grow fast. But once you've got the funds in the bank, that you need to actually think quite carefully about how you use it effectively.
I think because of the mission and being in the right place at the right time, the focus on sustainability, the focus on plastic, and so on, we've been able to attract some really, really high quality people without, you know, us going out of the way and, you know, doing a lot of marketing. And to a big degree, again, that's helped us, you know, get to where we are now.
What's helped is that our background in a corporate environment, managing teams, recruiting teams, means that we know also how to select the right people. So before starting Outbox, we had 15 years experience. So that helps as well in some ways in knowing how to structure the business, knowing how to bring and recruit people, incentivize people, build a culture. So all of these things are kind of normal for us to do. But there's always something that you will need to learn anyway. You can't know everything. Mm. We were quite complementary in some of our skills as well. And I think you could run a business on your own, but then having a co-founder is invaluable because there's always times when you're like, oh, I don't think it's working out. Mm. Maybe we should just stop. Yeah. And you're never at that same stage at the same time. So there's always one person who's kind of at a peak.
Yeah.
And when the other person is slightly down.
And this is the thing, right? Everybody talks about the glory of entrepreneurship. Nobody talks about the flip side of that argument where there's so many setbacks, failures, dark days as an individual, right? Where you go, oh, why am I doing this? And I do feel there are some days when I just want to take a mini sabbatical, so to speak, just go off and take a digital detox. And I've done that in the past, but, you know, I took a couple of weeks off to India and did this 1 week in an Ayurvedic kind of ashram or not ashram, but Ayurvedic kind of place where I just didn't take my mobile. It was me, books, Kindle. And it's really refocuses you, re-energizes you, but also sets perspectives, right? And it's not like, that's it. Okay, I feel that need every yeah. year.
And I think now that we've got a bigger team, we can do a bit more of that. But at the start, it's tough because then you cannot do everything and you need to be on calls all the time. And also, even after you raise investments, it's not that you've got that much more time. It's not that you can pay yourself a lot. So for a long time, we were not paying ourselves. We're still not earning a lot. So people shouldn't start a business with the hope that they are going to make a lot of money, because actually there's quite a very slim chance of us making a lot of money. But what we love is kind of what we're creating.
And the learning process as well.
The learning, the development.
And
trying different things and failing and then improving. And so all that is the really exciting.
And the flexibility and the freedom as well, you know, working with people, you know, if it's almost like we're trying to create a culture which is anti the culture we were before. But it's quite hard to do that at the same time as when you're growing really fast. You know, how do you balance performance?
And still staying true to why we started Outbox.
Yeah.
And having kind of, so we're in the process of becoming a B Corp. Because for us, that means that it will give us some guidelines and a framework to always stay true to our mission.
Yeah.
And despite getting investments, to balance the fact that, yes, obviously we need to be financially sustainable, and being financially sustainable means we can help more growers and bring Outbox to more consumers and solve a bigger proportion of the issue of food waste. So there's always that balance of about kind of the ethics and the financial sustainability.
So in terms of where you're going now, then what are your kind of plans for the next 5 years? And do you want to start like sort of meal boxes, like ready meals and stuff from waste, or like go to Europe or just the UK? What's going on?
If people think about sustainability, then Outbox should be the first product that pops up into people's mind in the UK as well as in Europe. We have been approached by people following a crowdfunding, but even recently in Europe to expand Outbox. So from a product side, there are things that we could do beyond just the food and veg in a box, which is derived products like juices and things like that. But also beyond food and veg, we have tried, there are food products where there's best before date kind of challenges that people have. and there's a risk of those products going to waste. So there's an element of that as well. That
yes, being able to help other brands sell anything which is kind of short dated or mislabeled or kind of wrong packaging.
So any product that stands at the risk of going to waste, that could form part of the odd box as well. But beyond the kind of odd box consumer product being number one kind of sustainable product in Europe, we also have the supplier side. There are quite a lot of opportunities there. It works on how do we know what waste or surplus a supplier has. We literally have to pick up the phone and ask them. And if we could build a tech-enabled marketplace, which then makes that information transparent, can we find different sales channels for the suppliers as well?
Yeah, so we think there's quite a lot of opportunities to address the food waste issue.
We found that from customers that they buy Oddbox because they feel like they have an impact on climate change and the resources that go into growing the produce. So what we're doing now is we're building this impact model, which then quantifies the resources in terms of water resources that went into growing a particular type of produce, the carbon footprint to grow it and also transport it from A to B, and any other kind of matrices that might be relevant, and really making that customized and individualistic in a way so that people can log into their account and see what is it that they are having an impact on.
Yeah, so that they kind of know that every time they receive an Oddbox, how much of resources they've saved.
Yeah.
And also once they have that insight and the data, then it becomes more difficult to waste it. Once you know how many resources have gone into growing one apple, then you're a lot more
mindful
about not wasting. It's very much changing mindset and changing behavior, helping people change their behavior by providing the information and the data.
And that's on the kind of scientific aspect. And there's also the education aspect of what are growers' kind of pains? What are they going through? We had a mild winter this year. What's the impact of that? If you have a wet spring, what's the impact of that on the food system? So I think there's a big untold story there about what's happening behind the scenes at a farm level, the food supply chain. And I think all of us are beginning to kind of wake up to that. I really want to know where my food comes from. How is it transported? How did it get here? And we're beginning to gain knowledge because we have a lot of interaction with our growers and suppliers. That information that Emily was mentioning before and the education aspect is where we think behaviors will change and mindsets will shift. And we could almost use Oddbox as a medium to help enable that final goal.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.